Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
Not only was he the baddest man on the planet, he was the most recognizable guy on the planet, and at some points, he was the most despised man on the planet. I'm talking about Muhammad Ali, of course. Formerly Cassius Clay, then he changed his name and joined the Nation of Islam back in 1963, of course. Became a Muslim, and from that point forward, he said to me, I wasn't just a fighter anymore, I was Muhammad Ali. If I was just Cassius Clay, I'd be just another fighter. This is another old punch-drunk fighter. But no, I'm Muhammad Ali. Being a Muslim changed me for the better. No doubt about that. Now we hear Muhammad Ali, and of course, expanding on the Vietnam War back in 1967.
Muhammad, what do you do these days now? It seems the... I've sometimes wondered what you're doing.
You know, it's really strange. I'm actually more busy now than I was boxing, because at the time I was boxing, I had to go in training for like 3 months before a fight. Yeah. And like immediately after a fight, I was signing for another one, and I was like on the streets for like 3 weeks, and then I was back in training. And I fought as much as 3 and 4 times a year, and training 3 months each fight. I was mostly in camp. Mm-hmm. But I'm more busy now than I was, more active in the ring. For an example, I was in Pittsburgh yesterday and toured about 3 black high schools in 1 day, encouraging the youth. A lot of gang wars are going on. They're shooting each other and sniping at each other on the streets. And the principals mentioned that with the things that I have done and sacrifices I have made, I'm about one of the few people that they might listen to. So I went, and they did listen, and a couple of the gangs got together, and we had a little secret meeting, and they shook each other's hand and said they're going to try to stop fighting and shooting. A lot of them are taking dope, and a lot of the girls are going into prostitution, and we went to the schools. We talked with the various groups, and we had a good time. And I'm on a college tour also, and my agent, Richard Fulton here in New York, says that look like we're going to be booked for another 2 years in the colleges. And I'm also franchising about 500 restaurants called Champ Burgers. We have 5 of them in the Miami area.
Champ Burgers?
Champ Burgers, right. And we're negotiating on about 10 more buildings in Georgia, and we're coming up here and all over the country. And also, Random House will be coming out soon with my life autobiography, about 4 more months. So I'll stay pretty busy.
That's pretty good. Is there any... How do you stand now with... the possibility of going to jail?
Oh, I don't know. I'm just waiting any day now.
Do you think about Do you think about that, though? Do you ever think what you'll do if you
Well, yes,
go?
You think about it at nights when you're in the bed. You think about, you know, if I went this way, what could have happened if I went this way? And I've figured it all out. No people gain freedom until some have to die, some lose their wealth, some give up money. And like I would say, the white race, when your people first got here, they didn't have these cameras and televisions and jet airplanes and air conditions and Howard Johnson's and Holiday Inns and Americana and Hilton hotels. They had to fight the Indians, watch their daughters raped and scabbed. Took 6 months to go from here to Los Angeles. Now you can do it in 3.5 hours. But nevertheless, they kept fighting and cutting down the trees. And they didn't see this, but they made a way for the present whites to rule. And the Japanese in World War II, they had these flights called suicide missions. They knew they would die, but they ran that plane, right? His life meant nothing when it came to the freedom of his daughter, his son, the future of his nation. And I would say, like, the astronauts, 3 white astronauts almost got stranded in space, and their wives were waiting, and the children were worried because they might, they could have been out there now, still in orbit.
Yeah.
But for the progress of white America in space, 8 astronauts died on the ground, and 3 almost not got back. But whenever people want to really make progress, some have to sacrifice a lot. And I like to say white America right now is spending $30 million a day in Asia. Black and white boys are dying unjustly for nothing just to free somebody else. So why should I worry about going to little old jail to free my poor people who's been catching hell here for 400 years? And it's kind of hard. It's kind of hard to put a black...
Are you asking me for an answer to that?
It's kind of hard to put a black man... any black person in this country in jail, because if you ask the average one, we're already in jail. You know, we've been here in jail 400 years.
How does the subject change so many times in that long sentence that I really... I'm going to talk for a second now. That I really don't know how that connects with Howard Johnson's and everything, but it's a terrifically long harangue there that you did. Do you feel bitter toward the entire white race? Do you think there's something about whiteness that is evil?
No, sir. No, sir. Whatever white people do as far as evil or as far as mistreatment, it's just the nature of the white race to be this way if we check history.
Do you think it might be human nature?
Yes, just human nature to kill. If white people,
human nature, not
I watch television, if there's not a movie of white people shooting white people in shootouts and cowboy pictures, they're shooting Indians. If they're not shooting Indians, they're shooting Negroes. If they're not doing that, they're shooting reindeers or elephants or killing something. Just got to shoot. The system is built on war.
Now, let me ask you this. Do you think if it had happened the other way around for some reason in evolution, if the genes and the pigments had happened to work some other way, and if the nation of Africa, if the continent of Africa had developed the kind of civilization that ours has, is there something intrinsically... I know this is part of the Muslim point, I assume, the black Muslim point, that there is something intrinsically aggressive about white nature that there isn't about black.
No religious point. What I'm telling you is in history books, in your own books about this. I have a book called 100 Years of
Lynching. Oh, sure, I know. All there is.
So I'm not bringing up religion or nothing. This is just a fact that the world knows, you know. But I would say that just the nature, from what I see of darker people, is peace. I say, like, the Japanese seemed to be a peaceful people until somebody else came over dictating and trying to rule them. The Hawaiians, they'd be on the beach doing their little dance. The Indian was building his teepee or whatever you call it. The African was somewhere doing his little dance. These people have never tried to go to other planets or slay and enslave other people or take over countries.
That isn't true. I don't want to get in an argument with you, but... Tahiti, for example, is always used as an example of the paradise that the white man came and destroyed. But if you look into the history of I'm an expert because I just read a book about it, Captain Cook, but that supposedly peaceful paradise where people did nothing but pluck breadfruit off the trees and make love and had no disease until the white man got there, actually had a number of unpleasant aspects to it, like the fact that they strangled infants at birth. To keep the population down, that there were live human sacrifices. So I know that there have been outrageous injustices against the black people in this country, but it doesn't really get us very far to talk about something as if the white man were some sort of intrinsic devil that no other race is.
That's the truth. You are right. What you said was the truth. The thing that you all have done to us is worse than the devil you told us about underground.
How would you like it if I were to lead into a commercial now?
Whatever you want to say, but when you say
after
devil,
this message
right.
From our local stations, we'll return.
Muhammad Ali on the Vietnam War. What can I say? He wouldn't go. What do you say? I'm not going to use my. You're not going to use my name to lead other young men to slaughter. I'm not going to let that happen. And he didn't let it happen. More power to him. He was a tremendous man, no doubt about that. Having spent time with him both professionally and personally, we're going to say nobody was greater than the greatest Muhammad Ali. Speaking of great, Gervonta Davis, of course, dropped Mario Barros last night three times, stopping him in the 11th round. Of course, it was a fireworks type of fight. They were throwing blows back and forth. I mean, it was a give-and-take battle. I mean, Barros won the first four rounds. Tank Davis wasn't looking like a 140-pound threat for the first four rounds, but then things changed. Of course, Davis now a champion, 135, 130, and 140 pounds, won this title, of course, in Atlanta, G. I want to say hi to Jackie Sunshine Smith. She was there last night, and she had a blast. Julio Cesar Martinez stopped the very game. Joel Cordova in the sixth round to defend the WBC flyweight championship, 112-pound championship. Of course, that went down, I believe, in Mexico, and that was on DAZN. Of course, DAZN's got it going on. Speaking of DAZN, I told you they're bucking for this this Tyson Fury, Tyson Fury, Anthony Joshua fight. So Anthony Joshua was told to not take the fight with Fury now. Take the Usyk fight first. Have a fight in between with a guy that nobody really knows. Oleg Usyk, of course. That would still Joshua can sell out just about any arena, Wembley Stadium included, Wembley Arena in the UK. Fighting anybody. So him fighting Usyk. Usyk is undefeated. He's a mean-looking guy, but he's a small guy. He's a cruiserweight. You know, smaller, a much smaller guy than Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua will have a big size advantage to him, and I figure Joshua will win probably inside the distance, if not a one-sided decision. But that's what's going to happen with these guys with Humble. But when the real heavyweight championship steps into the ring, I'm talking about Tyson Fury. He's 30-0, of course, with that one draw to Wilder. He will look to punish Wilder like you've never seen before. I mean, after this fight, Deontay Wilder, you might not be able to recognize him. You might have to arrest. Listen, there might be cops ready to arrest. This is going to be at the T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas, Nevada. Well, the Metropolitan Police Department of Las Vegas might be there to arrest Tyson Fury afterwards for domestic violence. I mean, that's how bad he's going to whoop up on Deontay Wilder. This isn't even fair. This is not a fair fight. It were. I mean, except for the knockdowns, what did Deontay Wilder do in either of those fights? He did nothing. He lowered his stock. He showed that he exposed himself for being a one-dimensional, one-trick pony. All these guys have that big right hand. He's a street fighter. He's a street fighter. And you know, you can tell that street fighters love him. I mean, they do. I mean, I talk to guys on the street, like street thugs, you know, I love Wilder, man. Why do you like Wilder? He can punch. You know, everybody likes him because he can punch. But he can't box. He can't box to save his life. He has no footwork. He has no jab. I mean, he doesn't throw punches in combination. He has a decent, he has a great right hand. I mean, it's a can't miss right hand. If he hits you with that one, you're probably going to go, right? Except for Tyson Fury. Twice he got up from it. More power to Tyson Fury. In fact, one time I think he got up from a combination, a left-right. So the bottom line is Fury got up. How the second time he got up, because he never knows how he got up that second time. But he got up, and of course, he is now going to defend this title or go for a third go around with Deontay Wilder, which I think is a big waste of time. But people say it's going to happen. Let it happen, and it'll be over with real quick. And, of course, I think it should go about 8 or 9 rounds. And when I tell you, Deontay Wilder, they said he wasn't trying to cash out. Hector said he wasn't trying to cash out because he could have took the $20 million and he didn't. So he wants to fight instead. No, he's probably going to make a little bit more than the $20 million in this fight. And I think that deep down inside, somebody has convinced him that he was wrong, sort of like Donald Trump, you know, losing the election. He can't accept the fact he lost the election. Well, I don't think Deontay Wilder can accept the fact that he got schooled by Tyson Fury, not once, but twice. I mean, twice. There's no doubt about it. He schooled him twice.
The UFC, they can strip fighters and give to the fighters, make believe belts in order to replicate my champ status, but they can't give knockout victories across multiple weight divisions. So there you go again. Etch my name in history one more time.
I talked earlier about Dustin Poirier and take that back. I talked about Conor McGregor. Of course, Conor McGregor and Dustin Poirier are going to hook it up again. Of course, Poirier beat him last year. Of course, McGregor beat him the first time like 8 or 10 years ago when they were both green as guacamole. But things have changed. Conor McGregor's gotten old. He has a whiskey label when he made $200 million with last year. More power to him on that. But the bottom line is I don't think he's a serious fighter anymore, and I think Dustin Poirier will win this third fight as well. The co-feature will have Gilbert Burns at welterweight coming to us from Brazil, taking on Stephen Schoolboy Thompson. Good luck with that one, Mr. Thompson. Taya Tovesa is going to be in the heavyweight feature bout, taking on Greg Hardy. That's going to be a good fight. And Irene Aldana is going to take on Yana Kunisakaya. That's going to be a women's bantamweight bout. Of course, that's going to go down UFC 264. Now, the UFC I want to see Francis Ngannou do something with the heavyweight championship. He has it. What are they going to do with it? I mean, he's the most dominant fighter probably in the history of the game. He's only won the championship, like, he just won it. And he's still the most dominant heavyweight ever. Why? He can punch. Nobody can punch like Ngannou. I don't think there's any fighter, any boxer can punch like Ngannou. In fact, I think if Ngannou wants to make the crossover, I think he can eventually challenge for the World Heavyweight Championship and do okay, because he was a professional boxer before he was a professional UFC fighter. No doubt about that. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course, coming to you every Saturday and Sunday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, right here on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM Satellite Radio, and the American Forces Network. Ring Talk returns in WBC Boxing TV right after the break.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide is brought to you by the World Boxing Council, the WBC.